Good morning to all of you. As Pastor mentioned, my name is Karen Haisley. I'm from the Akron and Cleveland, Ohio area. I am both pleased and honored to be able to share with you some of my experiences with the LCCA, which is how I'll always say it, but you should know it stands for the Lutheran Church of Central Africa, when I was in Malawi 3 years ago. When I read the scriptures, I am so often reminded of that life-changing trip. And it took me a while to come to a summarizing Bible passage that would indeed summarize what happened there. And I would like you to read the passage on the screen with me and keep it in mind as I share some of my adventures there. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. I went to Malawi as a volunteer for Kingdom Workers. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that organization. It is a Wisconsin Synod, a Wells organization, almost 30 years old now, which was put into place to give lay people, people like you and me, the opportunity to get more involved on a one-to-one, face-to-face, personal level in mission work. That does not mean that you do not have mission work here, as I do in my own congregation. That is certainly true. You know it. I know it. But sometimes you might feel like, I would really like to know what it's like to be on the mission field. And that's why there is a Kingdom Workers. Kingdom Workers is all around the globe. It's in Chile. It's in some of our home missions. It's on the Arizona Apache mission. But it has a very warm and special reciprocal relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Malawi. And there are three reasons. First of all, it is because of the wonderful people in Malawi. They are so warm and welcoming to the idea of anybody coming from the Wells, from the States, to assist them in their ministries. Secondly, Kingdom Workers has on the ground a field manager there. And for a newbie like me and my team, going not just to a different continent, which is massive enough, but also a different culture, a different people, everything different. To have that field manager on the ground was just terrific. When I was there, the field manager was a fellow named Stefan Felgenhauer. What a great guy. It was his natural habitat, I always thought. He was there with his wife, Kathy, and their three kids. They served two, what you might call, tours of duty. In Malawi, they are Kingdom Workers employees and Wells members. They have since come back to the States and been replaced by another field manager. But that's really the second reason that Malawi and Kingdom Workers work so well together. There is a liaison there. The third reason, this is purely selfish on my part, but there is a volunteer house there. So if you are a volunteer with Kingdom Workers, you actually have a home sweet home to come back to after you've been out in the countryside teaching hundreds and hundreds of children, for example. You can come back. It has a little stove, gas stove, so you cook your own meals. There is, and I'm being generous here, there is running water, and I don't mean to be unkind. Sometimes we laugh and said we had trickling water, but still so much more than most of the population. Down in the lower right-hand side, there's a little wash house where we actually had an electric washer so we could launder our clothes. I think the only difference I really noticed was that sleeping at night, we slept under mosquito netting, of course, because of the diseases that mosquitoes might carry with them. The Wisconsin Synod has been in Africa since the 40s. And I'm an English major, so I always have to count on my fingers, but that's about 70 years ago. We went then, once we were in Africa and found a home place, we went into Zambia in the 50s, We went into Malawi in the 60s, and oh my, hasn't God blessed us there. The Lutheran Church of Central Africa has just blossomed. There are now so many people that it has to be divided into two conferences. There is a Zambia conference and a Malawi conference. And today you'll find the Bible College. You might think of it like Martin Luther College. That is in Malawi, and the seminary where the ministers are trained is in Zambia. And all of the pastors at the Lutheran Church of Central Africa are African men. They are trained African men. We still advise, but it is a sister synod to us. It is not not part of us in a way. It is a sister to us, but they are an autonomous and independent group. So in 1963, we went into Malawi, and at the risk of giving my age away, which really I say that, and of course you know I'm not a spring chicken anymore, but I was confirmed in 1963. Is there anybody, do we have any kids here who are in confirmation classes now? One, two, yeah. Well, I was about your age. I know it's hard to believe that I was ever your age, but I was your age and we went into Malawi. And I can remember at your age saying, wow, Africa. The word of God is going to Africa. It was so cool to me. It was so exciting to me. And I remember, I even wrote in the eighth grade, we all had to write what we wanted to be. I'm going to be a missionary to Africa, I said. And it only took 50 years for me to get there. Because when we celebrated, 2013, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of our going to Malawi and, coincidentally, the 50th anniversary of my confirmation. And I was thinking about that, and then I went onto Facebook, and there was a posting that said, we're looking for VBS teachers to go to Malawi. Well, it was like the feathers of the Holy Spirit was brushing against my cheek. I thought, I think, after 50 years, I am finally going to be able to do that. Now, the LCCA has about 150 altogether stations where the Word of God is preached. 25 pastors now, I believe, not 26. And you can do the math. That means that there is no pastor in the LCCA that serves just one congregation. They serve multiple congregations. A Sunday is from church to church to church to church to church to church. So if you're not as familiar with the continent of Africa, you are like I was 3 years ago. I mean, I knew there was a continent of Africa because I used to be a teacher, but after that, I didn't know much about it. So the three maps that you see on the screen in front of you, if you look at the real colorful one, you will see Malawi in the southeastern part. You will see it. It will be hard to see. It's a little tiny green country. You might be able to locate it if you see the brown one that says Tanzania. It's right under that. It's landlocked, one of the few landlocked countries in Africa. And if you can possibly see it, the bottom of Malawi is completely surrounded by the country of Mozambique. And Mozambique is often in the news, not lately, but has been, because there's a lot of civil unrest there. And there's a lot of, like I would say, guerrilla war. There's a lot of violence there. And so I ask you to keep our brothers and sisters in Christ in Malawi in your prayers. It doesn't take much for that violence to spill over a border in Africa. The central map just gives you, helps you, I think, a little bit see where Malawi is. There's an arrow and it's in big black letters, so you can see where Malawi is. And on the far, your far left, is a close-up of Malawi. The capital is Lilongwe. You can see it about right in the middle. I think there's a star next to it. And then if you go to where I was and my team, we were in Blantyre, the second largest city in Malawi. It's down in the south. It's the second name from the bottom. That would be Blantyre. That is a very bad picture of Blantyre, but the best I could do. So if you get a picture of, first of all, Malawi being about the size of Pennsylvania, but having millions of more people in it, if you have a picture of that. Then you take a look at the second largest city. It's about an area the size of Cleveland, twice as many people. And of the whole population, 20% of the country is urban. 80% is very, very rural. So here we are, three women of an age. I think we were the oldest team that ever went to Malawi. And I always say I had a fun time. When I think about it, I think, keep it in my prayers, I think about what fun we had. But I will say the hardest part was just getting there. 30 hours, 5 airports. And there we are upright, and we do reach a certain age where, you know, if you get out of bed and you're upright, you have the day is yours. So we really felt we stepped off the plane, we were aware, we could maintain a sensible conversation even after 30 hours. The woman on your right is a retired teacher. The woman on your left, Mary, is a retired nurse. And there I am in the middle. Yes, the secret is out. This is not my natural color. I am as white as snow. And I'll show you a slide of how the kids reacted to seeing a large, pale, white-haired, blue-eyed woman. Our first 3 days in Malawi were spent just getting acclimated. I mean, it was so... Even the airports are different. And then it was just right in your face. Everything is different. So the field manager took us around and just showed us Malawi. You can see the terrain of Malawi. It's your lower left. That's what 80% of Malawi looks like. It's barren. Now, Blantyre, where we were, is up on a plateau, so there was a nice breeze. But for the most part, it's hot. Of course, we were there in August, and the seasons are reversed. So it was their winter was just ending. They were going into spring. So it was pleasant, unless you went down into one of the valleys, which just seemed to heat, like a sauna. It would just hold all the heat in there. We really came to appreciate, give us this day our daily bread, because every day we'd teach in the morning, we'd come home. On the way home, we'd stop. There's Stefan with the truck. We'd stop by the side of the road, and we'd buy our supper from the produce that was available. Upper right is a borehole. Wells has an organization called Christian Aid and Relief, which does a lot with putting boreholes for fresh water to third world countries as a bridge to present the gospel, Jesus, the water of life. Water is so precious. And even today, even 3 years later, lots of stuff in between. When I go to the faucet, get myself a drink, I will often thank God. Because we don't know what we've got when we can get fresh water from a faucet. And finally, at the top, I just had to put that in. It's not like Smith's Radiator Shop, where you name something after yourself, or Macy's. Most of those small commercial enterprises have lovely kind of poetic names. This one was my favorite one. My second favorite one was the Blackout Barbershop, because there are a lot of electrical blackouts. But here, I just was charmed by the difficult-to-understand shopping center and tea room. I don't know what that means. I think it's kind of difficult to understand. But, of course, we weren't there as tourists. We were there to share the love of Jesus and the Word of God, to assist the national pastors, the national Sunday school teachers, and congregations with putting together a vacation Bible school as sort of a template so that after we left, they could do it, having run it through with us, they could do it all on their own. The plan was this. 3 pre-selected villages would have a 3-day vacation Bible school. We would work shoulder to shoulder with the pastor of that congregation. He would open and close with a devotion, and in between the devotions, there would be all the things that you used to have in vacation Bible schools, crafts and singing and a Word of God story. Here's our schedule. So we had those 3 days of orientation. Then we went sort of to work. So we went to worship on the 18th. And remember, it's not just like here you're going to come to a worship service and you're going to go home. We went to, as I recall, 4 worship services that day. All in Chichewa, which is the language. But it was so fun to hear. I remember they sang stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. But it was in Chichewa. But we knew immediately what hymn it was, just from the melody. And that was a real, I don't know, like a bond, a unity that said, you know, you don't look like me, you don't dress like me, you don't talk like me. Your church doesn't look like my church. And here we are. We're both Christians. We are tied together. by the word of God and our love of Jesus. So we had 3 days of EBS, 3 days of EBS, another day of worship, and another 3 days of EBS. That was the schedule. Well, as you can imagine, the first day of the first VBS, you got these three 60-something ladies there, and we're thinking, I think to a person, we're thinking, what in the world are you doing here? So we had never done anything like, none of us had done anything like this before, and we knew we were going out, so we were very apprehensive. A lot of time spent in prayer on the way out there. And we rode in an old truck. And then there was an off-road vehicle. It took all of us out there. Every morning, the field manager would pick us up, and then he'd bring us back. So at first, when we went to the first one, we got off the paved road, and we came to this road. It's a road through a tea plantation. The plantation owner had kept it nicely graded, and I thought, oh, well, this is nice. I can deal with this. And then we get off of the tea plantation road to a road that, to this day, I have no idea why there would be big piles of rocks in the middle of a road, but there were. The good thing was, so here we are, we're holding on to these leather straps, and we're going blump, blump over these rocks. You didn't have much time to be scared or nervous. You just wanted to keep your balance so you didn't fall out of the truck. So that was just God working, getting our minds off of ourselves so we could focus. We pulled up to Chilliwani. We had just worshipped there the day before. We pulled up to Chilliwani. And to this day, we pulled up, we stepped out, and we heard the din. We heard 500 children inside of the church. We just looked like, well, you have a vacation Bible school, and a lot of churches don't have them. I don't think you have them. We don't have them really, a day here and there. But if you could get 30 children, you'd be saying, oh, that was a great VBS. So here we've got 500. We walk into the church, and there is this hurrah from the children. They had been waiting for us all that time. They had been told in advance. Many of them were members' kids. A lot of them were just from the local area. It's quite a distance, very rural. How welcoming it was to have a yay. I can tell you, it's the only time that I've ever walked in a door and anyone has applauded. This is Pastor Chippenbeer. I often think of him as the Mr. Rogers of the LCCA. He always wore a long sweater, a very calm evangelical man, commanding the attention of 500 children just with his presence and his demeanor. A very kind man. He always had opening and closing devotion in Chichewa, but he always took the time the night before to write them all out in English so that we could follow along also. Now, if you aren't asking this already, think about it now. What do you do with 500 children? Fortunately, we didn't have to rework the wheel. They had done it before. And so the field manager took those kids and divided them into three equal groups, about 170, 180 kids in each group. And so on that first day, and on the first day of each VBS, I always had the craft, which is very sad because I am probably one of the least crafty people you will ever meet. But I had the craft, so a third of the kids stayed in the church to do the craft. A third of the kids went out under a distant tree called the singing tree, and a third of the kids went out under the Word of God tree. So here I am. I tried to do a little Bible book. I have a couple samples out there. We had it pre-folded and ready. And I wanted the kids, even if they couldn't read, to be able to take this little Bible book, and if someone said, well, what does that book say? Even without reading, on the front was a picture of Jesus and the children, so they could say, here is my Savior Jesus who loves children. On the inside, I had them draw a picture of themselves, which was not smart because many of them, there were no mirrors, many of them were just clueless what I was talking about, but we got it across. So draw a picture of yourself with a smile. So then when you open the book, you'll say, here is a child who loves Jesus. It's me. On the back of the book was a picture of a church with a cross. Here's where I can go to see more about Jesus. I wanted them to be able to read this book. And we had a Bible passage we love because he first loved us, printed in Chichewa, so that anyone who could read a little piece of the gospel. We wanted to send one home with all 500, and we did. The problem was crayons. So I took two suitcases with me. I took one suitcase of my personal stuff. I took one suitcase. It was filled with three things. pipe cleaners, literally thousands, crayons, literally thousands, and yarn. That was my other suitcase. We did not have enough for each child to have a box of crayons. So for any kids here, think about the first day of school and you going off to school, elementary school, let's say, with one crayon. Well, here's your crayon for the year. That's kind of what we had there. So every handed out, every child got one shocken or crayon and worked at their little picture. But the beautiful part was, after a while, and I'm kind of walking and looking, and all of a sudden I'd see one child hold up an orange crayon, let's say. Look around. One child over here hold up a green crayon. And before I knew it, there were the crayons passed down just as orderly and peaceful as you please. And pretty soon there were crayons being passed all over to get that Bible book done. Here are one third of the kids. On the first day, Diane always had the singing. And here is Mary. On the first day, she always told the Bible story. Her story was the Good Samaritan. We are like the man in the ditch. We need someone to save us. That person is Jesus. Because, you know, we're going to have these kids in our lifetime, maybe some of them in their lifetime. They're going to get the Word of God just for those 3 hours, 3 days. And then, I don't know, I'll have to wait till I get to heaven and see if anybody's tugging on my robe there and saying, oh, remember me? You gave me that orange crayon. I don't know what's going to happen. So we always were conscious of this. So here's Mary telling the story under the Word of God tree. And then, after 45 minutes had passed, and you got to think of it like a conveyor belt, kind of. The helpers would come, and the field manager would come, and they would shift all 180 children to the next station. We never moved. The volunteers never moved. I stayed in the church that first day, and I did that craft 3 times with 3 different groups. That wasn't as bad. I don't mean bad, but that wasn't as grueling, let's say. The most grueling one was when you had singing. So you sang 45 vigorous minutes. You took 3 good breaths. Here's another 180 kids. You sing 45 vigorous minutes. And then here comes another group. But it worked. And the kids at first, I could see, they like the kids in the church with me, they were could hear the singing, and they were kind of like, well, how come we don't get to sing? But it didn't take them long to figure out. We're going to get to do everything if we're just patient and do what we're told. Every day, a volunteer did something different. So just for my schedule, I always had the craft. I was so relieved I got that out of the way on the first day. Second day, I always did the singing. Third day, I always did my favorite part, which was telling the Bible story, because I like to be dramatic. I had the man, Philip shares Jesus with the man from Africa, and I had Jesus stills the storm, which is so fun because you can do that whole the boat is rocking thing and try to keep the kids' attention. So that was how it worked. So you can now maybe get a better picture of how you deal with 500 kids. I am going to give you a little show of a singing lesson. Here I am doing Jesus Stills the Storm. At the end of each VBS, the staff always came, got in a line, and we went down, and each person said, thank you. It was so gracious. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for teaching our children. And we always had a gift for them. Very small, might be a little felt marker and a pad of paper, or a little pin, cross pin, and a pen, something to show our thanks. So now we've got this first VBS under our belts, and quite frankly, we're thinking we're pretty competent now. And then we get to the second one. We get to Komoto. Komoto is so different from Chilliwani. It is twice as far. It is so isolated and so rural. The children have never been to school. They don't have shoes, and they have never, many of them have never seen someone that was not African before. And I did actually say, because that's how, instead of a, hooray, the teachers are here, it was, oh, the teachers are here. That kind of reaction, they had never seen anyone like us before. But by the third day, we were up to 500. All the kids figured out, well, this is going to be kind of fun. And it was very touching to me because these children walked long distances to get there. And how they knew it was time to start walking was they would see the dust of our vehicle on the dirt road way as we got off the pavement. I mean, and it was distant, distant. But as soon as they saw the slightest spirals of dust, they would start the walk to get to Vacation Bible School. Pastor Kambalani was different from Pastor Chippenbeer, as our pastors are different, more austere, kind of a stricter guy, but very evangelical and a great translator. That was another thing. I've taught kids for 40 years. I can tell a Bible story. But getting used to telling it with a translator, I can say a little bit. Then I have to wait. But he was delightful because when I do Philip at the very end, I say, and the man from Africa went on his way very happy, I say. And there's this very austere man going, blah, 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 blah. And it was just great because he would really get into the story in a way I never would have expected. And by the way, you might also ask, well, why in the world would Wells put a church way out there? It's a smaller congregation. It's a big church. Because when we first went in there in the 60s, it was an authoritarian government. They told us where we could put churches, and we did. Crayons were called shuckins. On the last day of each VBS, we would already, the pastor would do this, but we had for each child one crayon of his or her own and a box, a little bag of cheese puffs for each child. And I remember Komoto, when we left Komoto, I knew the moment Pastor Kambalani told them they were each going to get a crayon of their own, because even in the vehicle on the way out, we heard the loud, whoa, kind of sound that came from the kids. This was something they had never expected nor experienced before. Another good thing is that it wasn't just kids. Because it was such an experience to have these people coming from the United States of America, we always had adults from the village listening to the Word of God. Isn't that hopeful? Singing with us, even doing the craft, as you can see. Pastor Kambalani, as I said, was a very fine translator. This is the craft we did. So before we went there, our afternoons were always prep. So before we went there, the story was Jesus feeds the 5,000. We call it Jesus feeds many. And we did a craft. It was a mobile. It was a stick with stuff hanging from it, which all had to be punched and cut, and all the yarn had to be cut in advance. So we had all that ready, and then the children assembled it. And they were so proud of it. The next day, on the third day when we came, when we were driving down the road and we could pass some of the homes, there was that mobile somewhere on the house, somewhere on a scrubby bush, somewhere on a fence post, but it was just filled with those mobiles. And I think that gives you an idea of what Komoto was like. If you look in the distance, there's nothing there. And it's not that it's a fault with the picture. There really was nothing there. It was a hard goodbye for some reason. I loved all the places I was, but the kids at Komoto just touched me deeply. And that was a hard goodbye, saying goodbye to 510 kids. Here's the staff of Komoto again. Thank you, so gracious, and we returned. Thank you for giving us the chance to share Jesus with your children. And then we worshiped, because we had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Now we worshiped, and now we're at our last one. And I'll admit, I was tired by then, kind of, but excited at the same way. It was a very strange mix. So sorry to think, oh, because at that moment, now I think, probably not, but at that moment you think, I could do this forever. I really could. I could go, I could be like your traveling VBS person in Africa and just ship me off here and there and there, because you just get used to it. You're received so warmly and so lovingly. So they had prepared this, and this place, Mpembebeni, was the closest one to a city. It was on the outskirts of Blantyre. Some of the kids even went to school. Some of the kids spoke English. And they had prepared a welcome for us, which was very organized. You'll see two Sunday school teachers, and you'll see the children. As we stepped in the door, they began to sing. We are happy, we are happy, we are happy to see you here.
Welcome, 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 our Jesus. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I love Jesus.
And I only put that in there because how many times can I show a picture of myself teaching a Bible story under a mango tree? I can never do it too often. I've never seen a mango tree before or since, and it was just a great experience. Again, the staff saying their goodbyes. And there we are. We were called affectionately, and I'm on Facebook with one of the fellas from that church there. And my birthday was in September. He sent me a Facebook message. He said, happy birthday, Agogo Carolina. They, for whatever reason, couldn't get Karen out, but they got Carolina out. And Agogo is grandmother. So we were the three grandmothers at all of them. It just kind of spread, the three Agogos. Do not confuse that with the movie The Three Amigos. We did not wear sombreros and ride horses. Here are some pictures from the warm heart of Africa. Malawi is known among African nations, that is its nickname, the warm heart of Africa. We certainly found it so. The children are wearing, on the upper right-hand side, the third craft. So the first craft was my Bible book. The second craft was that mobile. The third craft was a necklace. So my friend Diane, bless her, I never could have, because I'm not crafty, but she is. So we took pipe cleaners, and so she had each child take a pipe cleaner. We had cut them, weave them into a cross with a loop on top, and then, because she is a glutton for punishment, she gave each child a little bead and had them put the bead in the middle of the cross, and then they strung the cross on a necklace, and they wore it with pride. And my story of Philip tied in with that, because just as Philip told the man from Africa about Jesus, you're wearing a necklace. If someone says, what is that? You can tell them about Jesus and you will be just like Philip. So I'm going to kind of close. I wanted to share with you a typical closing. This happens to be for the second day. It has, the story was Jesus feeds the 5,000. So at first there'll be a little review. We did it every day. A little review of the story. And then we sent them away with a gospel kernel. That's K-E-R-N-E-L. God gives daily bread. There's the review. Now comes the gospel. I don't know what happened. Did I hit it? That's all right. You got the picture, because I'd like you to do it for me. Here's what you need to know. So first of all, actions often can get past language barriers. So you just need to know three things. You need to know Jesus, pointing at the nail marks in his hands. Jesus loves, and then me, you, everyone. So don't be shy. Children, you'll have to show mom and dad how to do it. Put your hands out like this. Come, come, come. No shyness allowed. Hands out. And we're going to do it three times. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves everyone. Are you ready? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves everyone. And that's how we left. That was always the last thing on each day. This is a passage from Revelation. Every nation, every tribe, every people will be around the throne of the Lamb. The great translator God will understand the praises. If you think that you might be interested in knowing more about Kingdom Workers, I encourage you. They're full of things. They're looking for someone to go to Chile for a couple weeks. They're looking for someone to help in the Apache mission with gardening, because they would like to help self-sustaining gardens, better nutrition, all kinds of opportunities. But just be careful. You may feel the wing of the Holy Spirit in the back pushing you forward. And so I want to close with the same passage. Will you say it with me again, please? Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. One voice, one flock, one perfect shepherd. Thank you.